Mr. Sims is apparently pro se. Is there anybody here today on behalf of Mr. Sims? Mr. Love, then, good morning to you. You may approach.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Your Honor. My name is George Love on behalf of the state of Nebraska. This case, I need to back up a little bit because I'm going to tell you that my conclusion in my brief is probably not the correct conclusion. Excuse me. This case is on the same posture with a case currently in front of this court, and it's State v. Carter, two cases, S14-1089 and S15-24. Point being is my colleague and I got into some discussions on the posture of the case and the proper remedy and so on and so forth over a fairly extended period of time. And I came to the conclusion, the following conclusion, and then I'll back up and tell you how I got there. If the court was correct in denying the informal pauper status to appeal in case S14-1073, then case S14-931 should be dismissed for lack of jurisdiction because there was no docket fee paid. Now, I based that on a case called In Re Noli, and it's not my brief, 249 Nebraska 628. And in that case, a parent had sought to appeal informal pauperis, and he filed his affidavit, and his notice of appeal, which of course docketed his appeal in the appellate court. Subsequently, shortly thereafter, the court found that his informal pauper status was not well taken. The first proposition in that case is that the lower court retains authority to review the informal pauper status, even though the case is docketed on appeal. That case stands for that proposition. If that's correct, certainly the district court had the authority to review the impauperformis status in this case and enter an order accordingly. Based on that, the appeal in S14-931, which was the district court's decision on the merits of a third post-conviction motion denying it not well-based, frivolous, so on and so forth, that was the merits part of the two cases that this court currently has in front of it.
I need to understand better what you think with respect to the merits that the district court did. Denied on what basis?
The district court denied the appeal as successive, barred, and frivolous, if I recall.
Wasn't there some comment here about his prison account and so forth?
Yeah, that's okay. Correct. It wasn't an affidavit in this case. What it was when the court, after the decision on the merits in case number 931, the court reviewed the prisoner account affidavit and so forth and discovered that the appellant had over $5,000 in his prisoner account.
And is that 1073?
Yes, okay. It is. Yes, it is.
And well, here's kind of where I'm going, because I think the procedure may be different if the denial of the IFP is based on frivolous allegations as distinguished from
the ability to pay.
And
right.
I think with respect to the latter, you do have a hearing, but with respect to the former, it can be apparent to the court from the nature of the record and the pleadings, in
right.
which case a hearing wouldn't be required, and I don't know if there was a hearing.
No, there wasn't. This was on the, if I understand right. the court's question, it wasn't a hearing on the court's denial of IFP in 1073, if that's what you're
asking. How do you know there wasn't a hearing?
Pardon me?
How do you know there wasn't a hearing?
There was nothing of record, only the court's order. He filed a poverty affidavit to appeal that order.
How did the court know about his funds and how much he was making per hour and all of those kinds of things if there wasn't a hearing?
It's in the transcript, Your Honor, when he sought to appeal. He put a prisoner account statement attached with a prisoner account statement attached to his affidavit seeking informal pauper status, and that reveals $5,000 in his...
To the judge.
Correct. It's in the transcript.
So, in effect, didn't the judge have a hearing?
And maybe I'm missing the court's issue on a hearing. I mean, it certainly looked at the application to proceed in form of papyrus, but I don't know that that is, if I'm understanding correctly, that's not a formal hearing. I don't recall that.
So what kind of a hearing would have to happen here?
I don't believe any kind of hearing would have to happen. That's a court duty under the statute. If it finds...
Well, under the statute, it's a court duty, so there has to be a hearing. What form does the hearing have to take?
Why does it have to be a hearing if it's a court duty? It's a court function to make a decision on the merits of the application.
Doesn't the IFP statute, when the ground for declining IFP is ability to pay, doesn't the IFP statute require... I think it does, but...
Okay.
That was fundamental to my question.
That's right.
To you.
I'm sorry,
I didn't frame it right, but if you have to have a hearing on the basis of economic ability, but perhaps you don't need a hearing on merits or frivolous allegations.
I don't think on the court's own motion on the frivolous part of it, no, you don't need a hearing. But I think the court is charged with the duty to review the application in forma pauperis and make a decision on that application. And I don't know that a formal hearing is necessary for the court to execute that duty. It simply denies the application.
Well, you're losing me a little bit.
Okay.
Do you think the court had a hearing on IFP status or not?
Not in the sense that the other party was there. That's not my understanding.
So does this then have to go back to...
It may. If my reading, I don't recall that in the statute, that there had to be a hearing on the inability to pay portion of that statute. And I'm trying to find it now.
I think it's 25-2301.01. But I could be. I'm doing that off the top of my head.
He was taking it. I'm sorry, Your Honor, 25-2301.02?
Maybe 0.
0.02, parens 1.
Oh, parens 1. Well, if that's true, he shall have 30 days after the ruling or issuance of the statement to proceed with an action or appeal upon payment of fees, costs, and security, which wasn't done either. So in other words, if it's denied, he had to pay the docket fee, according to that statute.
Or take an appeal from the denial of IFP,
right,
which he did.
That's correct, and that's the posture of this case. And the reason I think In re Noli applies, if I can get to the heart of the matter, is my second argument really, in brief, becomes moot, and here's why. Because In re Noli, the parent who appealed in form of pauperis and the judge who found that the ability to pay was not well taken, entered an order denying IFP. On appeal, this court basically held that the court's finding, the lower court's finding that he had the ability to pay was valid. Therefore, the previous appeal that came up with the poverty affidavit and the notice of appeal was dismissed for lack of jurisdiction because the docket fee hadn't been paid, so that appeal becomes moot. In other words, the status of IFP governs whether you reach the merits of the second case.
And so the court below made a determination about the status of IFP.
That's correct.
And he said you don't qualify because you've got money in the bank and you make a certain hourly wage.
Correct.
How did the judge know those things? Did the judge have a hearing?
Those things were part of the application to proceed in forma pauperis, which was in the transcript.
I guess, Mr. Love, I now have...
But there were... Go ahead. Your pardon, Your Honor, to conclude your question, maybe I'm not understanding the hearing aspect of this,
well,
but if you're asking me if there was a formal hearing...
It seems to me the statute says the judge has to have a hearing on the informa pauperis status. Did the judge have a hearing in this case?
He has to have a hearing, except if it's on his own motion by 2302.
But as to the merits, in other words, the judge is capable of looking at a petition and seeing that it's simply without merit or procedurally barred. But this is a different, different aspect. Ability to pay.
I'm now reading from section 25, 2301.02,
okay.
Subsection 1. About halfway through, there's a sentence that starts, an evidentiary hearing shall be conducted on the objection unless the objection is by the court on its own motion on the grounds that the applicant is asserting legal positions which are frivolous or malicious.
Correct.
And I guess I'm reading that section to mean an evidentiary hearing is required if the ground is ability to pay.
No.
Okay.
I don't agree with that, and here's why. The statute bifurcates it. The difference is between a party or an interested person who can challenge IFP status at the outset. Okay? If the court does this on its own motion, then no, that's not the way I read that. If it does it on its own motion, then he has to make written findings of fact and conclusions of law, put that of record, and that's enough.
Okay. If we disagree with you, then you would concede there was no evidentiary.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, I would. That much in terms of a formal hearing, no. But I don't believe it's necessary, not by my reading of that statute. Anyway, Your Honors, I believe the conclusion comes from in re noli, in the sense that if the district court's IFP status is well taken in the second appeal, then the first one is in the first appeal on the merits is without jurisdiction because no docket fee was paid.
Well, does
that harmonizes basically all of the case law.
Wouldn't the defendant have 30 days from the date of this appeal to file the docket fee?
No, because it's when he appealed the denial. The denial of IFP status denied his IFP status on the case that was appealed on its merits, and that's 931. So, having denied the informa pauperis status on the merits case, if this court finds any appeal, the denial in the later case, the 1071 case or 73 case, if this is meritorious, then this is gone because there's no jurisdiction, and that same proposition was reached in in re noli. Although, in that case, to be clear, the parent did not appeal the denial of informa pauperis status.
Well,
but because he didn't, his appeal was not taken well because the court found the poverty, or the court's order denying IFP was valid, therefore he had no docket fee, his poverty affidavit was invalid, the case is dismissed, and that's exactly what should happen in this case.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
That's right. Our next case of the day is Litherland versus Juergens.